In prayer. Eternal God, our beginning and our end, we gather in this place, this worship building, to honor you, to worship you. We know that it was your timing. In your timing, you created all things and you wove a yearning for understanding your essence into the fabric of life. This yearning within us has brought us here this Sabbath day. We ask you to help us this hour to hear you speak through your word and through your Holy Spirit. This is your time, and may your Holy Spirit empower us to praise you with words and actions that come from within. We ask that you move among us, that we sense your spirit, and that we are one body, unified in worship. May our words and our actions and even the secret thoughts of our hearts be focused upon you in worship. Almighty Father, creator of this vast universe, giver of sacrificial love, thank you for sending your Messiah, your Son Jesus, who died for us, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus kept asking people to follow him. He gathered 12 special disciples who followed him everywhere, and scripture tells us of many others who followed him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Following Jesus meant learning from him. That's what disciple means, learner. Learning can be a passive thing. You can learn facts and not do anything with them. But that wasn't the way Jesus operated. He said that to hear his words and not put them into action was like building a house on sand. Jesus requires an active response. Reluctant disciples want to wait. They wait for more favorable social circumstances. After I get married and have kids, when I find a good church, when I get a better job, then I'll do whatever you want from me, Lord. Jesus, however, calls us to live now, right now, at a higher level, to follow his footsteps, out of the deadly day-to-day rat race into a life that overflows with His love as we place our feet in His footsteps. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. The words way, truth, and life are sprinkled throughout the Bible. The psalmist said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." The psalmist, or the writer of Proverbs, wrote often about the way to life. Jesus is the fulfillment of all those verses in the Bible that talks about Jesus being the way, truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. He is also Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is both our way and our guide. And He is the truth. But truth is more than just recitation of facts. You can acknowledge historical facts about Jesus without knowing Him as the truth, without ever accepting Him as the embodiment of truth in your life. With Jesus in your life, you can live a life of truth being. That means you walk the talk. Your life, the way you live, the things you do, actually follow the things you say. And the things you say should be learned from Jesus, your master. Jesus is also the life, but not just ordinary earthly life, but life eternal, abundant life, joyful life. Jesus, life through Jesus is a life worth living. In John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, John described Jesus with these words. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Very straightforward. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Last week, we were at Deep South Camp. My wife and I, Laura and I, along with a lot of campers, kids from between the ages of 8 to 16, with a lot of staff. It was a wonderful time. When we go to camp, and this is the first camp we've had face-to-face for 3 years, it was wonderful to get back to having a face-to-face camp. The kids were just overjoyed. And we rocked the camp, which was Camp Sunlight in Somerville, Florida. We rent this wonderful facility. We call ourselves Deep South Camp. It's the camping program with the South Atlantic Association of Seventh-day Baptist Churches. And I had the wonderful opportunity with my wife to be on staff. And the kids were rocking the music. So the music you hear today are basically camp songs. And this is the theme song that we played every day of the week. So it's called The River, a very modern song. Of course, this is the kind of music the kids love, but the message of this song was fantastic. I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current. That moon makes it come alive, living water that brings the dead to life. Oh, 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 oh.
water, right up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. I've seen it move in my own life. You took me from dusty roads into paradise. All of my dirt, all of my shame, drowned in the streams that have made me born again. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that really makes it come alive. To bring water, it brings the dead to life. Oh, 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 we're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river.
Just imagine 25 young voices blowing the roof off of a chapel singing that song. It was wonderful. Speaking of something wonderful, one day when the disciples were bickering, Jesus called a little child. And Jesus had the child stand among those bickering disciples. Then Jesus said, "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Jesus was calling for change. In fact, he demanded change. "Unless you change and become like little children," is what he said. "If you can't turn your thinking around," he warned, "you don't belong in the kingdom at all. And how can you be a ruler in this kingdom if you don't know the first thing about it?" Here's how. Be as humble as a child. Jesus wasn't telling the disciples to look and act cute like a child? No, not at all. He said that we must all recognize our limitations. We can't barge our way into God's kingdom. We must be carried there by God's grace. Whatever occurs in his kingdom will be nothing of our own doing. It will be a gift from God. Jesus often talked about the kingdom of God. It may have been his favorite topic. Yet, despite all of his teaching, it is still hard for us to define this kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is as huge as the heavens and as small as a mustard seed. It's coming someday in the future at a time we don't know, and yet it's here, right now, near, even with us. It's a place of joy. It's also a place of judgment. It has already gained a foothold on earth through the work of Jesus, but it has not yet arrived in its heavenly fullness. The simplest definition of God's kingdom sounds very obvious, yet it opens up prayer for us. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. So when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are acknowledging that he is king in our hearts. When we pray for his will to be done, we are saying that we want what he wants and that we are committed to do his will in our lives. It was time for the stretch run. Jesus would soon be heading to Jerusalem for the last time to complete the mission he had come to this world to fulfill as the incarnation. He was on sort of a retreat with his disciples in the highlands north of Galilee, away from the crowds. And while they were there, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" The response was revealing. Some said John the Baptist. Others said Elijah or Jeremiah. The next question from Jesus was, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter, seldom without words, spoke up. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. His answer was stunningly on target. So much so that Jesus suggested Peter was getting divine prompting. Peter was blessed, Jesus said. He was fortunate to get this message, this understanding from above. Peter's confession of faith is the bedrock foundation of the church. It's the bedrock foundation of our faith. Our faith is based upon what Jesus did and established. His church is built on the belief that he, Jesus, is the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter's faith made him a rock-solid leader in the early church. And we too can be rock-solid as we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us and to transform our character. And that was the message that we brought to the kids at Deep South Camp last week. We taught them that it is wonderful to be a Christian. We taught them that being a Christian is cool and not to be ashamed of their faith.
A glorious light beyond all compare.
earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and in every low. Never let go, Lord, never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming, a dark that holds on. There'll be an end to these troubles until that day comes. Still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Never let go, Lord, never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, never a high, never a low. Oh no, never let go, Lord, never let go.